But I want to talk to us today about something dear to my heart, road rage. Do you know what road rage is? Have you been in road rage? Some of you look like you have. You know, I mean, road, some of you are looking at me like, oh boy, is that in the Bible? That's okay. Road rage is this: violent anger caused by the stress and frustration involved in driving a motor vehicle. Yeah, it's so true. I have a key verse, though. You know what Jesus said in Luke 17? You don't have to turn to it. Jesus told his disciples, situations that cause people to lose their faith are certain to arise. In this translation, I thought that's a strong way of putting it. Situations that cause people to lose their faith are certain to arise. But how horrible it will be for the person who causes someone to lose his faith. It would be best for that person to be thrown into the sea with a large stone hung around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to lose their faith. And this version says, so watch yourself. I enjoyed that. One time I was driving, my wife and I, we used to drive from Spotswood to Kingsburg. We lived in Spotswood, but we worked in the Kingsburg Pentecostal Church. We had no children yet, and it was about 17 miles. And one time, all of a sudden, this guy was riding my tail, you know, right on. Do you have someone do that? Right on top of your, you look in your rearview mirror, you can see their pupils. They're too close. And I slowed down, and I think I aggravated him. Well, I know I did. So he sped up to pass me. And I remember just, I don't know, one thing led to another where it was like, it was this back and forth. He decided to stop in front of me to get me to stop. And I thought, well, I don't know who this is or what's going to happen here. So I went around him, and that irritated him more. So he sped up and he tried to cut us and run us off the road. Those situations get a little unnerving. If you've ever been in them, whether you're a part of it or you're just a victim of road rage, it's hard. I often tell people when they come over to New Jersey, I say, this is my take on the difference between New York and New Jersey road rage. In New York, they yell and curse at you. In New Jersey, they follow you home. Seems to be that way. But the truth is this, folks, that when if you're in road rage and someone cuts you off, here's the thing, it sticks with you. Have you found that? It sticks with you. You know, and it's so true. Brother Cecil, at night sometimes, that's when the thoughts come back, like, I couldn't believe that guy did that. What's the matter with him? Who is he and where does he live? Right, you do think that, you know, where's he at? Did you get his tag number? It does stick with you. And you have to ask the Lord. Say, God, I'm wasting my time thinking about it. But it sticks with you. Where I'm going with this is that even on the narrow way, on this way of salvation that God has brought us, and Jesus used that illustration, this is the narrow way. Even on this way, sometimes, somehow, someone runs us off the road. A brother, a sister. It's dangerous when you get run off the road on the narrow way. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. You know, why? Because it sticks with you. And the enemy wants to make it stick with you. I couldn't believe that person said that to me. Have you ever thought that? I couldn't believe that a good brother like that did that. Sometimes it's about abuse. Sometimes it's about rejection. You just don't feel part of the clique. You don't feel a part, you know, like you're connecting, or they don't want you to connect. And sometimes it's just about humiliation. The list can go on and on and on, but these things stick with you. And the thing is this, how can this happen on the narrow way? We're all heading to the same destination. We all have the same shepherd leading us down that pathway. How is it that this hurt, this pain, this rub, this road rage could happen on the narrow way? It shouldn't be. But I remind us what I read. Jesus said this: situations that cause people to lose their faith are certain to arise. So our Savior said, look, don't be so surprised. It's going to happen. There are going to be things that are going to shake your faith. And unfortunately, there's going to be people on the narrow way that may sidetrack you or run you off the road. It happens. Peter put it this way, 1 Peter 1. He said, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, which is greater than gold, which perisheth, even though, These have come so that faith of greater worth than gold, which perisheth, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So Peter was saying in this verse, look, there's going to be various trials on the narrow way. We're not exempt from them. But the good news is that we have a salvation and we have a Lord who knows how to meet us and reach us. A few years back, well, you know how many years back it was? It was back when people used to read books. You know, they still do, I hope. And I made up some bookmarks. And one of the bookmarks, I don't know if it's an acronym or an acrostic, of the word HURTS, H-U-R-T-S. H-U-R-T-S. I want to share that with you today. Because I believe the Lord wants us to have a greater understanding that although there may be situations on this narrow way that we don't understand, that we don't always immediately comprehend, God does. And there's victory. And I'm thankful what you said, Cecil. There's victory. It's not just about forgiveness. It's about a life of victory, a life of overcoming. God has that for us. I've experienced it to a measure. Sometimes in the chapel, I kid people. I get up and go, folks, aren't you glad that God can perfect people like me? And they put up with me and say, well, he's perfecting you, and he's got a ways to go. But H-U-R-T-S, hurts. Now, it's a rhetorical question, but have you ever been hurt on the narrow way? Have you ever been like, God, why is this happening? How could this happen? This isn't supposed to happen. It's supposed to be a red carpet right to heaven. And St. Peter opens the gates. That's how I dreamt it would be. But you know, it's not that way all the time. Sometimes it's a coworker. Sometimes it's a pastor. Sometimes it's a part of the family. It's a dear brother, and a hurt comes. What do we do with it? Let's talk about it. H-U-R-T-S. H is for history. Satan wants to build a history. Here's what happens. Hurts enter into our personal history, and you know what happens? They begin that hurt, unattended by Christ and his grace, that hurt begins to dictate how we navigate our future. Have you noticed that? I know how sad it is to watch a life of somebody on the narrow way who got shoved off the narrow way momentarily, and that hurt begins to dictate how they live their life. One example, and I completely understand, is my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law, one time I was taking her somewhere, and I was driving, and I was going to turn down onto Cherry Tree Farm Road. And she said, don't go down that road. And she said it just like that to me. We don't go down that road. And then I realized her first son, my wife's oldest brother, tragically killed on that road in a car accident. And I completely, when she reminded me, I completely understood why she didn't want to go down that road. You wouldn't either. You wouldn't want to go down that road. And I completely understood it. But I also realized something: that hurts restrict our freedom. Hurts restrict our freedom. She couldn't go down that road. You know, I had that even in my experience on the narrow way. I'm going to share some personal things with you. It may not be your experience, but someone tried to get me to speak in tongues. You know? I believe in tongues, and it's right there in the Bible. It's great. It's awesome. It's edifying. But, you know, it's not something that somebody can teach you. It's something that God gives you. And I remember saying, that experience began to navigate my future. You know, and I used to tease, say, look, if you want to teach me to talk in tongues, you know, you should buy a Honda, you know. And I used to say that they're trying to teach you how to talk in tongues over there. You should buy a Honda, until the person in the back yelled out Kawasaki and the whole thing was ruined, right? It gets silly after a while. But that was a hurt in my life. It was a hurt that I needed God to heal. Here's another one. I remember early on, someone was trying to force me to praise the Lord. I still like to try to get people to praise the Lord. It seems like a good thing to do. There's help and there's health. But, you know, they were coming over to me it wasn't in our fellowship. We were visiting a fellowship, and you know they were. Can I use you as an illustration? No, but they were doing this. You know, come on, come on. You know, look at that hand up. You know, I just was like, you know, I didn't fight them. You know, but I said, Mom, Dad, because I was young then. I said, can I make a suggestion? Let's never go back there. Ever. Ever. I hope you can tell I got the victory over that hurt. Because praise is awesome.
Yes, it is.
Maybe tonight, Sister Vita, I'll go around pulling people's hands up. I don't know. What do you think? No, I'm only kidding. I just like to make them nervous. You know, and this is such a good one. I had this written before I did it, all right? Somebody yelled at me at camp. God bless, I was just talking with Sister Mary about the Bloom Sisters. They were always yelling at me. we must have needed it. And Sister Mary, there are certain people that just need a good yelling at. But, you know, I just remember, I was like, I can't believe it. I'm at Pilgrim Camp, and it is a blessed, anointed place. And I got yelled at. My mother. I said, Lord, you raised me with a mother that always yelled. I can't believe I got yelled at. And it was in Swiss. Well, these are small things. These are small things, but they can become big things in us. Because that's what the enemy does with a hurt. But I want to talk about now not being so facetious or silly, but abuse. Because it happens even on the narrow way. All kinds of abuse, every kind of abuse. You know what it does? It puts us in a holding pattern. It shrinks our world. There are places because of abuse that you won't go. But then there's also memories of abuse that send you down roads you don't want to go. That's what happens. I read a quote once, this, it made a terrible plaque in a house, I don't suggest it, but broken hearts leave jagged edges. And it's true. And in the chapel, there have been people who have come in and begun, and they were new, and you could tell right away, Diane and I, that they had broken hearts because they had jagged edges. You know, let me just throw something on the side here. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we all ought to know that there's a backstory to everybody's life. And don't make just a complete judgment. Some people come in and they're gruff and they're rough and they're sharp and they're edgy. And then if you just give them some time, you find out there's broken pieces in their life. And they're there to be healed. You know, Jeremiah had a tough job God gave him. But he was God's man. He was God's man sent to, and God told him, you know, they're not going to listen to you. And they're not going to be real nice to you. But the word of God got so in him, he had to do it. He had to give the word. But listen to Jeremiah's complaint. Jeremiah says, and this is 15 if you want to know, 17, 18. I never joined the people in their merry feast. I sat alone because your hand was on me. I was filled with indignation at their sins. Why then does my suffering continue? Why is my wound so incurable? Your help seems as uncertain as a seasonal brook, like a spring that has gone dry. Whew, that's a complaint, right? That's a hurt. That's a hurt. And he pours it out before God. Good news is what Psalm 34 says. Listen, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed spirit. That's a powerful word from the Lord. He's near to brokenhearted. He saves a crushed spirit. Later on in that chapter, Jeremiah says this. God says to Jeremiah, I'm with you to rescue and save you, declares the Lord. I will save you from the hands of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the cruel. Isn't that wonderful? See, God can turn our history of hurt into freedom. That's the victory. I've tasted that. I think many in this room have tasted that. I love an illustration. I think it's perfect, an illustration of what God can do. There was a man who was captured by his enemy, taken, and threw him into a 8x8 brick room. You know, those like cement sill. Cell that was, I think it was 9 feet high. The only thing he could see when he was in there was the sky. What they did to him was they came in the first day of him, his being in that 8x8 room, and they said, here's a pallet, you're going to have to bear this pallet and walk around this room. And then the next day they came in and they put the pallet on his back, and they put a brick on that pallet. And they made him walk all the way around that room and then place the brick in the corner. The next day they came in, they said, all right, not only are you going to pick up that brick, we're going to put another brick on the pallet, bend over, and he had to bear those bricks. They would do this every day, adding bricks and making him, it was almost unbearable to carry the weight of the bricks that they were piling on him. And the man became more and more discouraged until one day, instead of looking over in the corner at this collection, this pile of depressing and hurting bricks that he knew he'd have to carry tomorrow, instead of looking at them, he looked up. And as he looked up, the sun shone on his face. The next day they came in with another brick, but the man was gone. He had built a staircase out of all those bricks and climbed up and over the wall. That's what God can do with hurts. That's what God can do with hurts. He's done that in my life. He's done that in my wife's life. Hurts that we can't share with you. The hurts that are like, how can you go on? God has used them for his blessing. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the victory that we have in Jesus. That's why this is so real and why we want every young person to get this. Because Jesus said there's going to be situations in this world. And yes, even on the narrow way. But what God does with hurts on the narrow way is amazing grace. Why? Because that's what he did on the cross. He took the most... Look, if you were a disciple and you gave up your life to follow someone, like the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're following him, you say to your family, I'm following him because we know he's the Lamb of God. And so you leave everything and you follow him. And then all of a sudden, one day Jesus says, you know, I'm going to die on the cross. Woo! That's a little bit tough. What do you mean by that? The cross was no good. We wear it around our neck as decoration, but they knew what it meant. But you know what happened? Jesus took that cross and he turned it into the glorious victory. and a powerful resurrection to cement the victory. So H is for the history that God can change in our lives and give us a freedom. Here's U, and I'll wrap this up quick. U is for unforgiveness. This is what cements a hurt to your heart. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a chain that binds you, not the offender. And you need to realize that. Unforgiveness is a hurt that binds you. It doesn't bind the offender. And the reason why I looked at this, because I had trouble with forgiveness. The reason I had such a hard time forgiving was they never asked me to forgive them. Have you had that? They never once said they were sorry. They should. How can I forgive them? The other thing was this. If I forgive them, that means that the guilty goes free. I think I've convinced us all not to forgive some people. Because it's hard. It's tough, right? But two things to consider. Number one, Christ forgave us when we did ask. He forgives us fully, completely. Christ forgives us. Yes, it's because we asked. But the second part of that, and this is from, listen to this, from Genesis 18. Far be it from you to do such a thing, this to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. And here's the phrase. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Did you get that? Will not the judge of all the earth do right? You see, there is a part of us that says, well, they never asked. And that's true. When it comes to our salvation, do not we have to ask? But the freedom comes is when you say, I know they didn't ask. But just as Jesus said, look, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then I do as my master. But the second thing is this. God's justice, the king of all the earth, is going to do what's right. What am I saying? Nobody gets away with anything. That's the bottom line. No one gets away with anything. It's not that all of a sudden you're forsaking justice or righteousness. The king of all the earth will do what's right. And you ought to pray, God, I pray that they will ask. I pray that they will repent. All right, that's you on forgiveness. H is the history that God can set us free with. You on forgiveness, our restoration. And I hope you know about God's restoration. Joel is a good example when the Holy Spirit spoke to all Israel and said, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. But I thought of what David wrote in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and you know it, right? He leads me beside the still waters and what? He restores. God is in the restoration business. He's great at restoration. God will restore us. That's the wonderful hope. Do you have that hope in you? God, there's a lot of things that have been torn down in my life. Man and people and have done this, but He restores our soul.
Yes.
And He's the best at that. T is for transformation. And I think if I asked you today who you could pick out of the Bible that was had experienced transformation through hurt, I think you all would agree the best example was Joseph. Consider the life of Joseph briefly. Look at his brothers hurt him. His brothers betrayed him. His brothers got rid of him. Terrible. He cried, it tells us, in that pit for mercy, and they had no mercy on him. He gets to Potiphar's house. It seems good. What happens? Potiphar's wife lies and gets him in trouble. Wouldn't you be saying, God, where are you at this time? Maybe the greatest hurt would be not what happens horizontally, but vertically. God, I can't believe you're doing this. He gets into prison, starts doing better there. God gives him some dreams. Of course, it's between the baker and the butler, and he gives them those dreams. Sorry for the baker, happy for the butler, but he forgets them for 2 years. He had a life of hurts. Finally, God brings the brothers back and the father, and he realizes, Joseph, I've been transformed by these hurts. I haven't been diminished. God was mindful. God didn't turn a blind eye about these hurts. God knew about them, and God was taking the negative, just like he did on the cross. He took all the darkness and all the work of the enemy, all the weapons that the enemy could toss at him, and he took that cross and he said yes to the cross. And what happened? A resurrection came. And didn't that make all the difference? And that's what God will do for us. Joseph had that transformation. He said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And he became the savior of the world at that time. Well, the last one is this. Salvation. We have a great salvation, brothers and sisters. We do. And on this narrow way, we discover every day how God is healing us and conquering in us. And that's wonderful. I'll close out with another favorite illustration that blessed my life so much. There was a pilgrim walking on the narrow way. Because that's what pilgrims do, amen? And happily, because God had given them a destination, heaven, and to be in eternity with the King of Kings, the Creator of the world. And this pilgrim was happy on the way. But something happened on the narrow way. While he was walking, he stepped on a rather large pebble. Have you ever done that? And twisted your ankle? I mean, it hurts. And he sat down by the side and he said, how could this happen? Who would dare leave this pebble on the narrow way? On the king's highway, who would dare do that and leave that there? And he was like, I can't believe that this could happen to me on the narrow way. But he said to himself, I'm never going to let this happen to me again. I'm never going to let this happen to me again. So he took that pebble and he put it in his shoe so that he would never step on it again. He was a man of great wisdom. So he's limping down the narrow way like this. And he's making progress. And he's still heading towards the king. And he's still heading towards that eternal city. And he's still in that salvation. And he's praising God along the way. Praise you. Ooh, praise God. And he meets up with the caretaker of the narrow way. And the caretaker says, brother, are you heading to the eternal city? Yes. But I noticed you're limping. Why are you limping? And he says, oh, brother. You know, he pushed one of those buttons, a trigger. Oh, you want to know why I limp? Come sit down. Caretaker said, I'd rather not. Come sit down. And he sat down. He said, many years ago on the narrow way, I was heading towards the eternal city. But somebody left a rather large pebble on the road. Can you believe that? And I stepped on it. But there was someone else on the narrow speaking. They were off the road a little bit, and they suggested, and I followed the wisdom of that person, and they said, you know, don't ever fall on that thing again. Keep it in a safe place so you'll always know where it is. And I asked him, well, where's that? Put it in your shoe. So I did. And that's how that came to be, that I'm limping on the narrow way. And the caretaker said, will you trust me with that pebble? And he said, oh, you don't want this. You don't want this. I don't want to bring it up. He said, please just trust me. And the guy finally took off his shoe and he got a hold of that pebble and he gave it to the caretaker. And you know what the caretaker did with that pebble? Can you think what that caretaker would do with that pebble? He threw it into the grace of God, into the sea, and said, now stop! And put your shoe back on and get walking. Folks, that's the sum and gist of everything I said today. God can take a hurt from us, and He can make it the most treasured thing in your life. Other people will look at you and go, I don't understand how that person can live. I know their situation. I know their circumstance. And they have victory. God can give us that victory. I'll close with this, John 10:10. So you see, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But what did Jesus say? You know it. I've come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I used to think, okay, Lord, thank you. When we get to heaven, we'll have abundant life. But you know, that's a whole nother talk, but we're out of time. But you know, I thought, oh yeah, okay, I'll grit my teeth. It's not perfect down here, but one day I'll have abundant life because Jesus promised it. But then there's that little bit where Peter said, Lord, we've given up everything. And Jesus said, you'll be, if you know the verse, you're going to be rewarded in this life and the next. How does He reward us? He turns our trials into gold. He's done that, and He'll do that. We're going to just sing in closing once again. If you close your book, it's 41. We're just going to sing in closing the last verse. More stern will grow the conflict as near our King's return. And they alone can face it who this great lesson learn, that from them God asks nothing but to unlatch the door. It's like asking for that pebble, right? Asking for that pebble, give it to me. Admitting Him who through them will conquer evermore. Oh, thank God for that. Let's stand and sing that together.
More stern.
Dismissed. And again, I want to remind you that the prayer room is going to be open for as long as you want to be there to wait on the Lord. But before we go, Jesus. I just want to give you an invitation to do something. It's a suggestion. I do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to just hold out my hand and say, God, I give you that pebble. You know, I give you that pebble. God, maybe the Holy Spirit made you a realization that you're limping down a narrow way a little bit. And maybe it's you're like, God, it shouldn't have happened on the narrow way. Do you know that God can take that pebble and just, not just bless you, not just free you, but our dear sister shared it. He can free someone else. And so, if you feel that way, let's you know, sometimes you got, like what God did with Ezekiel, you got to put a little action into things. I'm taking that pebble and saying, God,
yes,
you could heal the limp in my life.
Yes.
I don't have to live with this. In fact, Lord, it's not only that I don't have to live with it. God, I'm ready to triumph. Boy, talk about being strong and courageous faith. It takes a lot to say that. But here, God,
yes.
I give this to you.
Yes.
And you know, I, like I said, I like to just be physical about it. Here it is, God. Here it is. You take it. I unclasp it and I give it to you. And Lord, I'm anxious. I have this courageous faith that I have an anticipation to see what you're going to do. God, it's gone for me, and in your hands, miraculous things can happen. So, Lord, today we relinquish that. It's all yours now, Lord. It's up to you what you do with it, but we have a hope. God, we have a heart that's thrilled that Jesus Christ, he who endured the cross for the joy that was set before him, is able to conquer. And we thank you in Jesus' name. We pray your blessing on us this whole entire day. Lord, we pray for the hurts that may be in those young lives in the village, in the cottage. Oh, God, Jesus, you are the caretaker of this narrow way. You protect and keep them. In your precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless you.